Let's pray. Jesus, you reign. You reign not over the nations, but you reign over us. Jesus, you've not called us to be Christians. You've called us to be disciples, followers. We see in Scripture what it means to be a follower, to deny self, to take up our cross, and to follow you daily. And so today, as we consider what we sang, the fact that you do reign, Lord, let our words, let the words from the Scripture, may what I communicate, may it purify us as your church. We pray these things through Christ. Amen. You remember a couple of months ago, I took up that Avicare 24-day challenge. And one of the things that I noted during that process was, and it's not mind-blowing, but it is helpful for us to think that what we eat impacts our body. Right? I mean, think about that. What we eat physically impacts us. When we eat junk food, when we eat bad food, it drains us. It makes us tired. We don't have any energy. We're lethargic, right? But if we eat healthy, if we eat good things, we seem to be more alert. We seem to have energy. We seem to feel good. The problem is, for so many of us, we've eaten bad for so long that we don't even notice it anymore. We just always wonder, why am I tired? I ought to drink a Red Bull to give me a kick, instead of realizing that there's an issue there. That the food that we're eating is not giving us the energy that we need in order to function properly. And I just want us to think about that as we transition to what we're talking about this morning. And I would say this. The images that we allow to enter into our body through what we see, through what we gaze upon, through what we think about, it also impacts us. It can impact us for good, right? When you see things that are beautiful, you see things that are holy, you see things that are right, it should inspire you to do things, to do good. But when we look upon things that are bad, evil, not God glorifying, then it begins to do a work in our body and it causes us to just kind of deteriorate. Remember that old adage, the discussion about do video games and do entertainment, do they influence culture or do they reflect the culture? Right? Both. That's probably the easy answer, both. You see kids that play shooting games all the time and it desensitizes them to the reality that when you shoot somebody, they really die. Right? There's this changing in our culture. And I just want us to know this, that what we look at, what we gaze upon, what we allow to enter into our eyes, which then comes into our minds, what we allow to enter into us, it affects us spiritually as well, either for good or for bad. So this morning, the question that I want us to address is this, is what you personally, me personally, is what we are allowing to enter our bodies, what we're looking at, is it energizing spiritually or is it robbing us spiritually? Is it hindering our walk? Is it causing us to become ineffective for Jesus? With that kind of in our background and our mindset, let me invite you to look in your Bibles at Luke chapter 11. You can follow along on the screen. The title this morning is Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See. Some of you may remember many years ago, Kendra sang that song, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See. I think that's what Jesus is warning us here in Luke chapter 11. Again in verse 33, says, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays give you light. This morning, as we walk through this text, I want to encourage you to write some notes down. You have some spots in your bulletin. And as we engage this text, let me tell you, I'm going to look at two lamps, I think, that are recognized or pointed out in this passage. So we're going to deal with lamp number one for a few minutes, and then we're going to deal with the second lamp. So we're going to have like one ABC, two ABCD, that kind of thing, okay? So, lamp number one, Jesus is the light of the world, right? So that's what we're going to be looking at. And the first thing we see under this context is this: Jesus is the light of the world, and He gives spiritual illumination to the lost. Think about this for a minute. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in Isaiah chapter 9, we see this similar idea, but it says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined." Jesus is the light of the world. He's come into the world to give those who are spiritually blind, to give them eyes to see the glory of God. However, Satan, this is little B, I guess, or number two under lamp number one, Satan tries to keep people blinded from seeing this light, right? I think about what Paul tells us in Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's talking about why people aren't coming to faith. It says, "In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake." Listen, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So Jesus has come to give light to His people that we could spiritually see, but the evil one is doing what? He's blinding people, causing people not to see with their eyes the glory of Christ. People all around us are still walking in darkness. Which leads to this third idea, and that is, as followers of Jesus, we're called to battle against the evil one. We're called to be light bearers, to proclaim the good news that Jesus sets people that are in darkness free. Right? Jesus came, I'm the light of the world. The evil one tries to blind people, and our responsibility is to make Jesus known. Acts chapter 13, verse 47. "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Our great calling is to be light bearers. Which is what he's getting at there in verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in the cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter see the light. See, Jesus has illuminated our hearts. And he's now said, "You are lamps, you're a light, you're the city on a hill. Don't cover yourself, because you're shining a beam of light into the darkness of this world," right? We're called to be light bearers, bearers of the truth of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 5, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. Walk," listen, "walk as children of light, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness," y'all listen, "but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So, as we're walking through this text, at the very beginning, Jesus is saying, look, I'm the light of the world. So for us, if we're going to be proclaimers of this news, that Jesus is the light of the world, and we're going to be light bearers, we're going to fulfill our calling, our ministry, to be ambassadors of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we, as believers, have to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And one of the ways we do that is by self-examination and looking to see what types of things are we allowing to come in through our eyes. Just like we said, what we eat affects us, so what we look upon impacts us. Which leads us to lamp number two, where we're going to spend most of the time. As we walk through the text, we see this idea. Our eyes, they're the pathway to our hearts. Our eyes are spiritually important because they are the spiritual opening by which things enter our body. Look at verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Whenever your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. What he's doing there is he's contrasting two eyes. You either have a healthy eye, and when that happens, it's full of light, or you have a bad eye. It doesn't see. Let me just give you an example. My own life. My sister, many of you know she has diabetes. She's had it since she was 5. What am I, 36? She's 32. Legally blind, right? As an older brother, I'm mean, right? She has no peripheral vision. So I walk up behind her when she comes to our house, and I put my hands and I say, tell me when you can see me, Kim. And she really can't see me till I get right here. I mean, she cannot see. Because her eyes are bad, it causes her to stumble, to fall. She breaks her arm. She breaks her leg. A couple months ago, she stood up. She didn't see a glass table that was right next to her. She fell over on it, broke the glass everywhere. Because her eyes are bad. It causes her to stumble. And so it is in a spiritual context as well, right? If our eyes are good spiritually, we can see around us and it allows us to walk righteously, holy, not to stumble. But if our eyes are evil, if they're bad, if they're sick, we stumble spiritually. We fall into sin. Which leads us to the second idea, and that's this. Too many believers, too many people who claim to be followers of Jesus have unhealthy eyes. Look, this is an important message for us today, the society in which we live in. It's amazing, right? When you go to a big city and you see it lit up at night, I mean, it is amazing, isn't it? I mean, all the bright lights and it's glory. I mean, that's one of the things that we saw this week, right, with New York. I mean, they're like, look at downtown New York. The lights are off. I mean, you never see that. I mean, you're so used to the bright lights and all the telescreens and everything that was going on. I mean, it was in darkness. I mean, it's beautiful when you're in a plane and you're flying over the land and you see little pockets in cities where the light is just glowing, right? I mean, it's wonderful for us to look at. Yet, that light, it's artificial. And what happens is we start to say, oh, this is so pretty. Look at the lights of the city. But you know what that light does? It blocks us from seeing the true light, which are what? The stars. How awesome is it when you go out and, I don't know, I remember when we did youth trips, mission trips when I was in a youth. We'd go out to Arizona and we'd be out in this desert farm and you'd look up in the sky. I never knew there were so many stars. And you see satellites. I mean, it's awesome. That's what God says. The heaven declares the glory of God. The sky, the stars, the moon, the glory and the true lights that God has created. What happens, though, is we've exchanged the real light, the light of Jesus, the light of His Word, for artificial lights, for things in this world. And like those lights that you put out on your back porch that attract bugs only to kill them, that's what so much of the stuff is that's out there that we as believers even are just flocking to. We're being drawn to it. And we're being zapped, killed spiritually. It's robbing us of life. Jesus says, I came to give you life. I've come to give you abundant life. I've come to give you joy. And so many of us are walking around as if we have no joy because we're being sapped by artificial things that we're looking at that rob us from the light of the glory of Christ. Listen to what 1 John says, chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride in possessions, they're not from the Father, but are from this world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. You go through the Bible and you see so many examples where people had unhealthy eyes, where they looked upon things that caused them to stumble. They exchanged the glory of God for the artificial light of the things of this world. Just give you a couple of examples to think about. Eve. The very beginning in the garden, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Do you see what they did there? They exchanged the glory of God for what? For the flesh. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to rule their own lives, and they went after the very thing that God said not to, and it killed them. Samson. In Judges chapter 14, it says, then he came and he told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now go get her as my wife. But his father and his mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of our own relatives or among our people that you've got to go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. Why? For she is right in my eyes. Samson is just indicative of what was going on in Israel at that time. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It's like now. Christians doing what's right in their own eyes. Being drawn into the flickering light of the things of this world, allowing our eyes to be bombarded with images and with things that rob us of the glory of Christ. Samson said, I don't want a wife the way that God has said, I want to do it my own way. Maybe the most classic example is David. And it happened one late afternoon, this is 2 Samuel chapter 11. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and he was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And you know how the story goes. He sins for her. He sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. He has her husband killed. He lies. All because he wasn't guarding his eyes. He was looking upon things that he should not have been looking upon. And what we bring in impacts us. It affects us. It robs us. of God's glory and His design of what He says is what I would have for you to do. Just think for a minute, how many sins have at their root the issue of the eye and seeing something that leads us astray? Think about this. Lusting. It's the eyes. What about this? Coveting. I see what somebody else has and I want it. Adultery. Again, an eye issue. Jealousy. All of these, and probably many others, but if you just those on their level, there's a sense of what we allow to come in our eyes thus allow sin to well up in our hearts and we act on it. We are impacted. Just like by what we eat impacts us, we are impacted by what we look at. That's why he says in verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, it's good. But when your eye is bad, it is full of darkness. As Christians, many are looking at things. Sometimes it's unintentional, but usually it's intentional. It's purposeful. Are looking at things that are allowing it to come into our eyes. We don't have gates up. We don't have shields up. And it just comes into our eyes and it slowly, methodically transforms us. And not for the glory of God. Think about the shows and the movies that we watch. We're so desensitized to what we see, it doesn't even impact us anymore. There's no shame when we see things on TV or in movies when we should feel shame, shouldn't be watching this. Studies show that teenagers in church, Christian teenagers, watch the same amount of rated R movies that non-Christian teenagers watch. And then you want to say, I want to be a light to the nations? Adults, we're watching the very same shows that the lost people around us are watching because they're funny, because we think it's entertainment. All the while, it's the evil one just saying, let me get my claws in you. At the very same time, what we're not looking at is Scripture. We're not guarding our eyes. Books and magazines that we read. A few months back, somebody just was talking to me about 50 Shades of Grey as if it was a no big deal, connected to our church. For some of you, you might not think it's a big deal. The whole book's about sex and outside of marriage. And then you wonder why kids have sex outside of marriage that are Christians, because we as parents, we allow it, we read about it, we enjoy it, we watch movies that promote it. And our kids, they just follow us. Do we even need to say the internet? What would it be like if we all laid our computers bare? The old adage used to be, you could tell where a person's heart was when you looked at their checkbook. You could tell where a person's heart is if you look at their computer. The computer's not evil, it's amoral, not right or wrong, but how many people have allowed their eyes, whether it's with pornography or whether it's just with things that start to go down that slope, we allow our eyes to look at those things. And it just desensitizes us. It robs our families. It robs us of spiritual life and of joy. We're those bugs that are just going towards the zapper and we're not even cognizant of it. He says our whole body, when our eyes are evil, when our eyes are bad, our whole bodies are drawn to darkness. We do things and we think it's funny. We send inappropriate images. We talk because of what we hear, what we've seen, to one another in inappropriate ways. Again, Jesus says, I've come to be the light of the world. The evil one is blinding them. You're my ambassadors, but we can't transform the culture because we're not transformed ourselves. If we sit and we fix, we gaze our eyes on these types of things, if we're filling our minds and our hearts with sin, how long until we just become immune, unfazed by it? Even worse, how long till we begin engaging in it? I think one of the reasons we're not light bearers is we don't have the light shining in us. We've become dull bulbs. There's no light, no flicker from us because we have light filling in our eyes the things that do not honor and not give glory to Christ. That's the bad news. It's good news. What do we do? Number three, how can I ensure that my eyes are healthy and that thus my body would be full of the light of Jesus? Look, that's what he says in verse 35. Look, how your eyes are in verse 34 is serious. Verse 35, therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. That's the imperative. Be careful. Be careful. What are some ways? What are some tactics? What are some things that we can do to guard our eyes so that what goes in is holy and righteous and wholesome and edifies the body, creates light in us, and is not bad or evil and causes us to be dark of sin? One, put on the full armor of God, right? That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. We're in a battle. Clothe ourselves with the armor of God. Stand. You have an enemy, a roaring lion that's seeking to devour you. You know that? He's looking to devour you. He already has the world. He wants you. And if we're not putting on the armor, we're walking out in the battle, whether we recognize it or not, naked. And his flaming arrows just... What was that, Hunger Games, right? I know some of y'all saw that, right? Just one after the other. That's all that's going on all day long. All day long. And you're out there without the armor of God? How are you going to stand? Second way would be this. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says what? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Tells us, look, in view of God's mercies, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is our spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed. Don't be conformed. Don't be shaped by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whether you recognize it or not, what you look at impacts us. One of my students, marketing, says, by and large, what you see on TV in an advertisement, there's a great likelihood that you'll go and buy it within the week. That's why they're willing to pay $10,000 a second to make a commercial. Because you're going to go buy it. That's why the newspapers are filling up with the Christmas ads already. You're going to go buy it because you see it. I need it. And the call to us is to renew our minds, to be transformed, to not allow those images to constantly bombard us, but to fight the fight of faith and say, I'm going to guard myself. Renewing my mind includes reading the Scriptures, allowing God's Word to permeate. It's a light unto my path. Right? The Scriptures is the light. It's a light. Show me how to live, how to walk. Through prayer, God, help me in this battle. Lord, show me if I'm allowing things to enter my eyes that are displeasing you. Show me if there's areas where I need to guard myself through fasting. Maybe you just need to say, look, in order to break the addiction of whatever I'm doing, I'm not going to watch TV or I'm not going to read these books or I'm not going to get online or I'm not going to be this or that or whatever it takes Take some time off to say, look, I want what I put into my body to be holy. I'm telling you, when you start eating right, you feel a lot better. If you start living right and watching and thinking about what is right, you'll feel better as a believer. Third, gaze upon things that are godly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You say, oh, that's lame and boring. That's your heart. That shows you how far you are from where God is, what He's calling us to. So for us, let's examine our patterns and our life to see if what we watch, if what we view, if what we allow to come into us through our eyes, does it bring us closer to Jesus? Or does it cause us to walk in darkness? Does it cause us to walk in shame? Does it cause us to walk in ways that we know we should not walk if we claim the name of Christ? And fourth, there are blessings to having pure eyes. 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part of dark, it will be wholly bright as a lamp with its rays gives you light. Look, if we're guarding our eyes and allowing good things to come in, we'll be, it's like a those little sun panels, right? And the sun absorbs it and it causes it to burn brighter, the more power. It's God's Word. As we're weeding out the things that we shouldn't look at, we're focusing on the things that we should, there'll be this growing glow upon us. So ways that we have blessings, one, you have a good conscience. When David was involved in sin with Bathsheba, what did it say? It said his bones wasted away because he knew what he did was wrong. Look, if you're walking in righteousness and integrity and you're not looking at things that you shouldn't, you're guarding your eyes, you can walk with integrity in your house and in your office and in your job and your family, all over the place, right? You're not afraid of being found out. David was afraid of being found out. There's blessings. It allows, there's no anxiety. Look, it's not just the kill joy. There's good things that come from walking in righteousness. Peace of mind. Two, it allows for a powerful testimony. If we're absorbing what is good, what is right, it allows what we speak and communicate to others to be powerful. Look, if you're living in sin, if you're doing things that are ungodly, it's unlikely you want to testify about His work in your life. But when He is moving and working in your life, you want to praise Him and tell of Him and share Him. A third blessing for having pure eyes is this: the Lord blesses you with life. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Look, when we're allowing light to come in and walking in righteousness, God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your ways. I'm going to bless your steps. When we're eating bad, we just feel bad and we just walk around bad. And when we're allowing bad things to come into our eyes, it impacts us. We feel it. We don't want to live Christian life. I mean, we could fake it. It's not genuine. It's not real. What God is saying is, look, if you would allow good things to come in your eyes, there's blessings there. You'll walk in righteousness. You'll be blessed. You'll want to share. It'll guard your families. It'll guard your heart. So this morning as we close, I know it's powerful. I know for some of you you're uncomfortable. I'm going to just ask you to do this. Look, the good news of the gospel is, He says, confess your sins There's forgiveness and wholeness, righteousness. So even this morning, as we have a time of response, maybe you want to come and pray as a family about things you do, or maybe you want to pray where you're at as a student, or maybe you just want somebody to pray with you to help you. It's an opportunity to respond. Maybe some of you just say, I just want to know who Jesus is. I've never fully trusted Him, but I want that light in my life. I'll be here. Jonathan will be there. There'll be some of us around. We can pray with you as well. But as we sing this song of response, let us say, God, will you show me what I'm allowing to enter my life through my eyes? And will you show me if I need to do some purifying today? Father, move and work, we pray, through the power of the Holy Spirit in these moments for your glory. Amen. Let's stand.